Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chris Russell, a.k.a. The Rooster, along with JT the Vic, and welcoming back our buddy Chris Dowdell. And Logan Paulson is going to join us in just a moment here. But first, we tell you that we are brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Reindeer fly fast. So do winter events. Hurry in to your local Mercedes-Benz dealer for limited time offers during the Mercedes-Benz winter event, which is going on right now. Visit MBUSA.com for inventory and offer details today. We'll talk to Doug Eldridge, a PR specialist, coming up at the bottom of the hour about the Washington football name change and what Jason Wright had to say and the issues associated with that. My guy Logan Paulson played for the former Washington Redskins, which is still their official name, I guess. And now he analyzes the Washington football team each and every Sunday and throughout the week in guest appearances for us here on The Fan. We did the postgame show after a Lions 30-27 win over the Washington football team last Sunday. And now Logan, kind enough to join us here again on a Friday night. Logs, how are you, pal?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. Always good to have you on and good to hear your voice. So when we last talked on Sunday, obviously we were right in the throes of, you know, kind of an emotional loss, a good comeback, what they did to shoot themselves in the foot in the first half. I guess when you went back and you watched it on tape, is that still like what most people think they saw? Bad first half, good second half, and just a comeback that fell a little bit short. Is that basically your big picture takeaway, or did you have something else that really stood out to you in the last 5 or 6 days or so?
Yeah, so, you know, it's taken me a little bit longer to get through the tape. I've only got through the first half. I watched like 2 or 3 hours of it today. Really like to take my time going through it. And basically one of the things that I came away with was just kind of a sense, it kind of reaffirmed some disappointing things in terms of the defensive side of the football. You know, I went through and I felt like the Detroit Lions had really established the run early in the game. And I went back and watched it, and in my opinion, I don't know exactly how the defense is being coached, but based on the structure from my time playing and things like that, it seemed to me like a lot of those runs were caused by kind of guys on the defensive line trying to do too much. Like there was a play where Payne kind of double backs and, you know, they get two guys in the gap and Swift hits them for like a 16-yard gain. So another time twice in the first half where Chase Young is peeking his head inside, big run around the outside. And so, but even though despite some of those kind of self-inflicted wounds and guys kind of playing outside the scheme, defense for all intents and purposes, minus the two big plays, played pretty good overall. You know, I think there were some disappointing things like I just alluded to, but, you know, they were in the game. And then I went back and watched the offensive side of the ball, and it's so interesting to go back and watch these opportunities that were missed in the red zone. Obviously, I think everyone remembers, you know, the fake reverse or the reverse that kind of got stuffed, the sack that knocks them out of field goal range. They go down the next drive. They try to run a fake bubble screen, the play the week before that Cam Sims had a huge gain on. And it just kind of total serendipity. He runs into the DB and the timing's off. Alex Smith gets flushed from the pocket and it ends up being third. They have to go for a field goal. Then they go down on the other side and McKissick has a guy on a double move, and they just missed the throw by a little bit. And so if they would have made either one of those plays, it's 10 to 14 or 10 to 17 going into half. And that's just one. Those are two plays from the first half that could have easily swung the game. And that's not even talking about the fumble. So I think, you know, people talk about slow starts and missed opportunities, and I think this game, especially the first half, in my opinion, defines that kind of missed opportunity of a team that's not all the way there yet, not all the way clicking, you know, for whatever reason.
It's interesting that you say that because, you know, I mean, obviously I knew that Alex didn't play a perfect game, obviously, and that they left points on the board. But I think the things that you just pointed to kind of refresh and remind us, oh, yeah, they did have that that lost opportunity. Logan, we know this, right? No football team, no game, no half, no stretch is going to be perfect. There's always mistakes. There's always missed opportunities. If you're Washington, how do you go about, I don't know, limiting the mistakes, right? I mean, is it something from a player's mentality where you put maybe so much pressure on yourself to be perfect where maybe you're so tight or you're a little too tight? How do you go about, based on your experience, kind of when things aren't going right but you know you're doing some of the right things, about how to fix it? Because it's easy to say, well, just study more film or practice harder, right, or play better. Those are easy to say, yes, not easy to do.
Yeah, I definitely think there's this really kind of fine line between like over-preparing and just kind of under-preparing. You know, there's like this sweet spot, this razor's edge that teams have to walk. And I think looking back on my time playing, there were times where the teams I was on, I knew were good offenses. I knew they were a good group, but for whatever reason, the production just wasn't there. We'd miss opportunities. We wouldn't convert on third down. I mean, another example from the game, they got backed up on a punt situation. They go three and out. And they give Detroit the ball back on the 50-yard line. You know what I mean? Just stuff like that that kind of, when you look at it individually, you kind of say, man, like if they would have just gotten one first down there, that changes the complexion of the game. It makes it harder for Detroit to score on the next drive. So I think they're doing some good things, especially offensively. And it's encouraging to me because if they keep doing those things and if they keep building and if they keep growing, I think the offense has a chance to be pretty good. Pretty good is maybe an overstatement, but serviceable, a good NFL offense, right? And I think if you look on the other side of the ball, so I think they just need to kind of keep chipping away and limit those mistakes in critical situations. You know, they kind of had an overthrown ball in the red zone. A guy runs into a guy, like total accident, you know, that limits their third down efficiency. Bad play call, you know, so they kind of took a turn out of making a mistake. But defensively, I think the thing that kind of stuck home to me was guys were just trying to make plays maybe that weren't theirs to make. You know, like I mentioned Chase Young, who I thought, you know, he's a good player playing well, but, you know, sticking his head inside when he's a contained player, right, at least to my eye. You know, I think Kendall Fuller, he's playing deep thirds, and like they run a little bit of a double move on it. He gets a little nosy and gives up the big play in the touchdown.
He bit on that pump fake. Yeah. Did you think the pump fake really got him, or was it just his eyes in zone there in the wrong place?
So this is what I think. I think Kendall Fuller is such a good player at anticipating throws that, like, it was a combination of things. The receiver comes up, like, he's running an in-cut. He slows down. Kendall Fuller feels that. Everything's telling him he's going to stop. He sees Stafford. He's got his eyes in the backfield. He's playing the coverage correctly. And Stafford gives him a little shoulder. He thinks the ball's coming out. He's doing the right thing. He's playing aggressive football. That's why he's here. That's why he's leading the NFL, or one of the leaders in the NFL in interceptions. And they know that. These NFL teams know that. And it just takes that much when you're dealing with the speed of an NFL receiver and a guy with the arm talent of Matthew Stafford to make him. And so obviously everyone's going to get on him. He gave a big play, but like that's kind of what's made him so good all year.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to fault the guy for kind of, you know, with the girl he brought kind of thing. So to my mind, I just think guys are just trying to make plays maybe that they should just play within the confines of the defense. And I felt defensively guys are seeing a little bit as opposed to just playing ball. And that happens, especially after the week they had the week prior against the Giants, where they're kind of getting over, you know, everyone's off all the defense, the linebackers. You see that guy a little tight this week. I'd like them to come out and just play a game that I think, you know, you and I and some of the other people who watch them really closely know that they're capable of playing.
Logan Paulson, of course, you can hear him with JP of the Junkies, 11 to 1 on Sunday morning, right after Earl Forsey's countdown to kickoff, leading you up to kickoff of the Washington football team and the Cincinnati Bengals. And then, of course, after the game, after the final gun with Pete Medhurst this Sunday on the postgame show, they'll be breaking it down. Unfortunately, while nobody will be driving back from FedEx Field because no fans are allowed, but hopefully it'll be a victory Sunday evening into a victory Monday. You mentioned Chase Young and maybe cutting inside and kind of being in maybe a little nosy in the wrong position. I asked you about something last Sunday on the postgame show, so I'm curious if you saw anything different or whatever when you had a chance to watch whatever you were able to watch. You know, they put him on the left side a lot in that game, from what I remember, and that was the weaker side of Detroit's offensive line. And we both talked, and you had said this, you know, explosive first step, but then I wondered, does he have counter moves? Does he have that repertoire of stuff to stymie the double teams or the chips? Did you see anything different about him or his plan of attack as a pass rusher when you went back and watched whatever you were able to watch?
Yeah, so one of the things that stood out to me in the first half of this game was the plan that Detroit deployed to negate the pass rush. Like, they basically adopted the philosophy of the New York Football Giants. They said, we're going to get in bigger personnel groupings. We're going to show a lot of run looks, a lot of play action. And what I saw from Chase Young in the first half is that he was not able, and same with the whole defensive front, not able to get in a pass rushing rhythm, because when a team is running the football effectively, the way that the Detroit Lions were against the Washington football defense, everything looks like a run early. So there was a play on the touchdown, for example, where the left tackle jump set Montez Sweat, even though the backfield action didn't really look like a play action. And Montez, thinking it's first down, they run the ball three consecutive first downs. He played a run, which makes it really easy for the offensive lineman to kind of get hands on you. And it's really hard for the defensive player to restart the rush. Same thing on the other side, right? It looks like a run action to Chase Young. He kind of peeks his head inside. That tackle's able to get his hands on him. And then it's the down's over. Those guys are too big and are too strong. I don't care how good of a rusher you are, if the tackle gets hands on you. So that, to me, was something that really stood out, is there seems to be a formula that was established, I want to say, all the way back to the Rams game, where this, if you can run the football against this front and make everything kind of look a little different play to play, the guys just can't get going. And then if in the first half, I don't remember exactly, but I want to say there was maybe five out of all of the defensive snaps, pure pass rushing situations. Mm-hmm. And even then they kind of move stuff around and make it look a little different.
Is what you're talking about from Detroit's perspective, when people say, hey, they do a good job of marrying the run to the play action, is that something kind of different than what Detroit was doing?
That's 100% what I'm talking about. And the thing that's really interesting about it is that's something that Detroit has not shown a ton of, or at least in my prep leading into the game. So they kind of adopted that philosophy, and it showed like how effective it could be. Like, they don't get in big personnel a ton. You know, they like to sling the ball around. Mm-hmm. Like, for them, running the football is kind of an afterthought. And then this week, you could tell they were like, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to negate this front. We're going to make them earn it. And we're not going to get in any obvious passing situations. And when we do, they're going to be so kind of confused by the looks that we've given them previously that they're going to be somewhat ineffectual. And that's what I saw in the first half. Now, I haven't gotten to the second half.
That's yet. Okay. That's okay. That's really good insight. So if you're Washington, I mean, it goes without saying, right? I mean, if you can control the run or at least limit the run, then that makes what other teams are doing to slow down the pass rush a little less effective, right? I mean, it's harder to do exactly what you're talking about if you're not gashing them up front with DeAndre Swift and Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, 100%. Like, guys, and you know, even at some points in the game, the linebackers are they're triggering to the run. They're all standing within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, like looking for the ball carrier. So I think you're 100% right. I think if they could mitigate some of that, you're going to see a much more productive defensive front. And also you're going to see more obvious passing situations. If the team is running on first down the way Detroit was, and they're getting zero, it's second and 10. The chances of you getting a pass rushing situation on that down and distance increases exponentially. Then you're at 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7. Again, another pass rushing down. Those are two more pass rushing opportunities for that defense, either to pressure or to get it with the front four. So I think like that's something to keep an eye on as a fan moving forward. How can this team get in obvious pass rushing situations? Because up to this point, they've only done it a couple times against the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys.
Really good stuff from Logan Paulson. One last one, and then we'll let you go. I appreciate you hanging out with me on a Friday night. Again, Logan will be on our pre- and post-game coverage, as he is each and every Washington football game day, with JP 11-1 on Sunday, right before kickoff, and then right after the game with Pete Medhurst as Washington takes on the Bengals. I know you weren't, you were doing your own career 2 years ago when Alex got injured, but from whatever you knew of Alex prior to the injury, whatever little it might be, or maybe you knew a lot, whatever you watched from afar, do you think there's any chance he might be a better thrower or more accurate or anything like that? Does anything jump out to you and say, wow, you know, he's got more zip than I thought he did, or anything of that sort? Because I asked a couple of guys, Rivera and Scott Turner, this week, and Rivera's like, oh, I think he throws with more zip. Like, he surprised me how much velocity he's got.
Yeah, so when I finished the game on Sunday, I kind of had that was my notion. I was like, man, Alex Smith looks much better than I kind of remembered. But after watching the section of the game that I watched, I was also kind of in my mind thinking, wow, the Detroit Lions played a lot of off kind of softer coverages more than I thought they did watching the game. And I think that kind of fits with what Alex historically has done well, right? Get through your progression quickly, get the ball checked down, right? Find the hole in the zone. That's kind of what he's been really good at. And I think that this game plan, the Detroit Lions game plan, kind of led or fed into Alex's strength a little bit more.
Gotcha.
And so it'll be, and I don't think you're going to get to see a good indicator of what, you know, what would be hard for Alex Smith this week with the Cincinnati Bengals. But I do think that there are defenses out there that are going to present more of a challenge and really kind of show you some of Alex's weaknesses from, you know, him now and him previously. But yeah, I think that maybe it's important for everybody to kind of just say, hey, wait a second, like this game plan that the Detroit Lions employed was kind of what suited him really well. So it'll be interesting to see if he can keep this momentum moving forward. I hope he does. I'm rooting for him 100%. I'm so excited when guys reinvent themselves this way, because no one thought he was capable of this, you know, even when he was in Kansas City. So it's really cool to see this now.
Absolutely. Logue, I appreciate you making some time for us on a Friday night. Go hang out with the fam, do whatever Logan Paulson does, eat some blueberries and some cottage cheese, something
right.
Much healthier than I'm going to eat when I get off the air. But thank you for doing this, and I'll talk to you on Sunday, all right?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Appreciate you.
You got it. Logan Paulson, my guy, does a tremendous job breaking down the game. Hope you guys enjoyed that. We tried to bounce around to as many different things, and you can tell. That guy obviously played for a long time, had a very productive career in the NFL, saw a lot of things, and he can watch a football game and give us a different perspective that certainly I can't, and that most fans and other media members can't. So great stuff out of Logan Paulson there. We'll keep it going. 800-636-1067. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk to a PR specialist, Doug Eldridge. He will take us through the challenges, the murky waters of a name change, a logo change, and especially when you're dealing with an ownership change and an ownership fiasco and everything like that. We'll get his perspective on all of that. Until then, if you want to squeeze in a call, it's 800-636-1067.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hopefully if a Washington win, it would be their third win of the season. And listen, if they don't win this game, if they don't win this game and you drop to 2-8, as I said last night, I don't know. People will still watch the Thanksgiving Day game because it's Washington, Cowboys, because, you know, everybody's at home, stuck at home. People are very limited in terms of, well, if you're doing things right, people are very limited in terms of family gatherings and all that stuff, right? So nothing about this Thanksgiving will really kind of be the same. But people will still watch it. But people will watch it with zero enthusiasm. Think about this. Think about this. If the Washington football team loses this particular game, they will be 2-8, right? If the Dallas Cowboys, who are coming off of their bye, if they are, and they're taking on Kirk Cousins and the surging Vikings, granted, on a short week in Minnesota, if they lose Sunday late afternoon, and they'll play after the Washington Cincinnati game is over at 4:25, right? They could be 2-8. We could have two 2-8 teams battling it out in the highest and most visible television window that there is in the NFL season. And I believe the only games and windows that are higher rated is certainly the Super Bowl, but I believe the primetime AFC or NFC championship game, whichever one it is, on that Sunday night, you know, the 6:15 kickoff or whatever it is. I mean, this game, the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, 4:30 Eastern time, usually draws in past, it's drawn about 33 million people when the Washington, then Redskins, and the Cowboys played each other 2 years ago, last, on Thanksgiving Day. So when this game kicks off, I mean, there probably won't be 33 million. I mean, maybe there will. I have no idea. But two 2-8 teams, or I guess a 2-8 team and a 3-7 team, I mean, no matter what happens, even if they both win this Sunday and are both 3-7, who's going to go, hey, you know what? Let me stuff my bird early so that I could get around the TV and watch two terrible football teams. Now, are they terrible, terrible? No. I mean, the Washington football team is better than whatever their record is going to be. But you are what you are, right? That's what you are. I mean, you can't find a way to win close games. You can't find a way to win close games. You can't find a way to make avoid mistakes. You can't find a way to avoid mistakes. That's why you stink. Other good teams find a way to avoid it. But think about this also, right? The primetime matchup next Thursday night, Thanksgiving, or this Thursday night, I guess, is the Ravens and the Steelers. Traditional rivalry. Right now, the Steelers are 9-0. Right now, the Ravens are 6-3, right? Obviously, you know that's going to be a fun game and a good rivalry and all that. The Texans visit the Lions to get Thanksgiving Day started, a game we'll have here on The Fan. Right now, the Texans are 2-7. Right now, the Lions off of the win over Washington, 4-5. The Texans, this week, host the Patriots. Patriots are starting to come alive. They're 4-5. I mean, you'd probably say, look, you know, a pretty decent chance that the Texans will be 2-8. The Lions are visiting the Panthers, but no Christian McCaffrey. I think he's already been ruled out in that game. I mean, there's a decent chance that the Lions win that game, right? Down in Charlotte and all that, and are 5-5, but they could be 4-6. And if, you know, I mean, if you have a 4-6 team versus a 2-8 team, and then 2-8 teams, or 1-3-7 and a 2-8, I mean, that's a nightmare for the NFL. Just an absolute nightmare. I'm be very curious to see what the ratings are. And you guys know me, I'm not a big ratings guy, but very curious. All right, when we come back, we're talking name change. We're talking logo change, the challenges associated with it. My buddy Doug Eldridge, who is the founder of the DLE agency and Achilles PR, and he works with professional athletes and personalities and brands, and he's also a regular guest on television. We'll ask him all about that. He will join us and give his insight with us right here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, just past 7:30 right here on a Friday night. Overtime, we'll take you through until 9 o'clock. Right here on 106.7 The Fan on the radio.com app. Good to have you with us. We'll get back to your calls at 800-636-1067 in just a little while. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is my pal Doug Eldridge, who is the founder of DLE Agency and as well Achilles PR. You can follow him on Twitter at Doug Eldridge. You'll see him on TV. He does a lot of that. And glad to have him here on the show because he reached out last night when he was listening on his way out of the office and was nice enough to say some great things. So I said, hey, I don't know what I'm talking about. Why don't I get somebody that does? And now Doug is with us on The Fan. Hey, Doug, how are you, pal?
Rooster, that might be one of the best promo intros that I've had in a long time. I feel like we got to crank some AC/DC, and you got to be my ring man and put your leg between the ropes, and let's get in the center ring right now.
My guy, let's do it. Let's do it. I need more jobs like I need a hole in the head, but I do anything for you. I appreciate you making some time for us. You know, I mean, obviously it goes without saying this whole process is a very, very, very complicated process. But what I guess what I was interested in starting off with you is when you consider what they've already done, and I nobody knows the exact numbers, but I mean, it's countless hours. It's, I'm sure, millions of dollars invested in removal of all old signage, logo, name, and then the installation of all of the signage for Washington football team under the new logo, the new design. When you consider all that, you know, I mean, obviously it's a massive job, but is that, would that be something that would be smart of an organization, whatever organization it is, to then change from that again in quick fashion or quick time?
Well, there's a lot to unpack with that. The short answer is there's no quick way to do it. Okay. At least at least there's no quick way to do it if you're doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Double entendre intended, because Jason Wright, who they brought in to helm the ship, has most assuredly got a steady hand on the wheel. And I think he has a firm understanding of exactly not only the direction they need to go, but Chris, the pieces they need to pull into the equation. It's like the old Abraham Lincoln team of rivals. You don't want people sitting around the table that are going to say yes. You want people that bring a different skill set, a different perspective, a different expertise, and that will challenge and in so doing change. And for all of the things that the NFL is most assuredly stayed about, one thing that historically they've been resistant to is change. But in the context of the Washington football team, which full disclosure, I still reflexively call the Redskins, change is actually a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why I say that. We're talking about a league rooster that does $16 billion a year in revenue. The Redskins are estimated to be worth between $3.5 and $4 billion with a B dollars. Mr. Snyder took over from Jack Kent Cook. There's some dissension and some infighting in terms of the minority ownership, which mm-hmm. is an entirely separate conversation. But what is not in dispute is the unflinchingly, unwaveringly loyal fan base that have stood by the side. My office is not too many blocks. I'm in Northeast D.C., a backside of Capitol Hill. I'm not too many blocks from the old RFK. And I still remember going there and watching games with my dad back in the 80s. And Rooster, I kid you not, man, you remember. It would shake to the point where, as kids, we loved it. It was a jungle gym. As adults, we'd say, this may or may not be safe. But that's emblematic of the fervor and the passion of the fan base. So to loop it back to your question, when we talk about a rebrand, when you're talking about a legacy brand like the Redskins, air quotes, that's danger zone. But when you apply that to the current context and environment with you know, consecutive losing seasons and vitriol among the fan base and just the general political environment across the United States, vis-a-vis cancel culture and the like, this is actually the perfect time to put your pole in the ground, do a hard pivot, create a new name, create a new image. So doing create a new value and a new set of expectations for the fans. Now, when we talk about the actual moving pieces, Rooster, that goes into this, I often liken it to a watch, not an Apple Watch or a Casio, but the old school analog watch, the old hour and minute hands. On the front of the watch, it's smooth and the hands are moving slowly. But if you flip that watch over and pop off the back, you see all of the gears that have to operate in absolute perfect synchronicity to give the illusion of fluidity on the other side. And in so many ways, that's what the rebranding process is. We're talking about securing licensing rights. We're talking about PTO, Patent Trademark Office. I well remember in law school all of my classmates that worked at the PTO, the Patent Trademark Office, right here in Alexandria, securing copyrights, trademarks, service marks. The other thing you have to remember, too, when so many people rolled their eyes and said, WFT, you know, insert joke here.
Right.
The reason they went with that is the NFL, from a licensing standpoint, they had a hard line in the sand where they had to print all the T-shirts and embroider all the caps and everything else. There's rolling deadlines, and that's why I say there's all these gears that go into this. You have your public relations component, meaning your community interface. You have your marketing endeavor, which is increasingly social and digital. You have your licensing. You have your intellectual property procurement. Not to give you a long answer to a short question, but in so many ways, that really is what you're looking at. It is a complex process that gives the illusion of simplicity.
All right, so let me zero in on something here. If you were them, and if you were advising them, how would you go about this process? I mean, obviously, the selection of the name is the first and foremost important thing, but then you have to fill all of those boxes that you were just talking about, and those are some complicated boxes. So how do you go about that? I mean, do you pick one name and then check, you know, behind the scenes before you announce it that it fits all of that criteria before you release it to the public, or hopefully before it leaks to the public? Or do you do, you know, two names in case one name comes up bad? How do you kind of go about that process?
The best, that's a great question. And as you were asking, the best analogy I can think of, when I was in high school, we had a gal that was blind, and blind. And she would get her schedule 2 weeks before school started. And she would, with her cane, literally count the steps. So she made a left turn, Then she made a right turn. Then she went down the stairs. She would count it. And the first time I ever saw her read a book of Braille, Chris, one hand, I don't remember if it was left or right, but one hand would read this line. The next hand was already reading the line beneath it. And I say that because in so many ways, it is that simultaneous process for the Washington football team. In the exact same moment, they are polling the community and doing focus groups while they are simultaneously reserving a variety of service marks and running it through all of their corporate partners, which quite frankly has been a rocky ship of late in terms of who's staying on, who's jumping ship, et cetera. But they are reading two lines of text at the same time. This is not binary. It is not A, then B, then C. It's not paint by numbers, much like Becky, who could somehow read two lines of text. What I'm talking about and the words that are coming up next, read them and process them simultaneously. So too is the case for the Washington football team in terms of how they have to process this. Now, in the context, Chris, of the intellectual property and what we call cyber squatters, whether it's the domain, whether it's the social media handle, whether it's the service mark or the intellectual property protections that would be run through. Remember, it's not a matter of who has the best case. It's who has the first case. So there is a sense of urgency, and that's why they're doing these two things simultaneously. There might be three names that are thread through the public focus groups, but they protect 10 names, if you follow what I'm saying.
Sure, and that's
the only way to reasonably and reliably do this process. But if you actually back up to 30,000 feet, it almost seems as incredulous as the Becky example that I gave. And I'm 42, and I'm talking about someone that was 26 years ago, and I still can close my eyes, no pun intended, and think about Becky reading two lines of Braille simultaneously, and it blows me away. But in so many ways, that really is what goes into the moving pieces. Again, the back of the watch, all the gears that have to fit, the moving pieces of a successful rebranding process, especially when you're talking about a $16 billion industry and a franchise that's worth between $3.5 and $4 billion. To say there's a lot at stake is by no means an overstatement.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, and you mentioned it earlier, the infighting between the owners, and now today we got the Washington Post story that said the minority owners agreed tentatively to a deal, but that was way undervalued based on the Forbes values that you've mentioned, Doug. And I guess just big picture here, Jason Wright and whoever is making these decisions, and Dan Snyder's obviously involved in it, not only have the name change, the logo change, but they have this infighting and they have a franchise value at stake. And now they're getting an investigation and they're, you know, dealing with the NFL. Oh, and by the way, their head coach has cancer. And by the way, the fan base is fractured and they're trying to win games. I mean, this is almost an impossible ship to steer. I don't even know where to begin. There's so many things.
You know what? I was literally describing this to somebody earlier in the week, and I said, it's like if you're juggling five things, but all five things aren't the same.
Yeah.
One is an orange. One is a butcher knife. One is a lit tiki torch. One is an egg that's half cracked, and fill in the blank. The point is each one is different. So you can't just go and the fifth time around, you take a bite out of the apple like a circus trick. Each one requires a specific amount of care, but how do you simultaneously affect that level of care to each piece, right? So to your point, that in so many ways, Chris, you really encapsulated the delicacy and intricacy of the situation. But to unpack it in 30 seconds, here's what you're facing. Number one, full disclosure, I've always had a great relationship with the organization from Tony and PR to Jane and CR to prior coaching staffs. To the players that I've worked with, both on and off the field, and I probably should have said that from the outset, but by no means am I speaking on behalf of the organization. I've done a lot of television and media work, you know, objectively talking about this situation. The biggest issue that the Skins have is twofold. First of all, put together a winning collective on the field, and they couldn't have picked a better man. I'm just saying coach, better man, better person. Mm-hmm. We can speak in the abject than Coach Rivera, period. Because as the leader goes, so too does the team. So that's number one. The pieces are coming in place. Number two, and this is the harder part, and that's to change the brand context. If I said to you one word and you closed your eyes, you would immediately have an immovable impression, suede. in the back of your mind, you can immediately think and feel, and you can literally, you're probably rubbing your thumb and forefinger together because you know exactly what suede is. In so many ways, Chris, that's what brand identity is. A one-word association that ascribes and prescribes a value and a description to something, positive, negative, or otherwise. So what the Redskins are facing in the form of this rebrand is establishing what their suede is. When their fan base closes their eyes and says Washington Football Team, Redskins, or whatever the new name is, what is the suede? What is the thing that they rub their forefinger and thumb together and feel and think in their subconscious?
Right.
It's got to be weird, but you follow what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's a complicated process because what you're really establishing and really dialing in and drilling down is not just brand value, it's human values. Sure, we can win games on the field, and some seasons we'll lose games on the field. But here's who we are in the community. Here's who we are as an organization. Here's the path that we're blazing. Here's the investment that we have in the community, and here's how we're encouraging you to follow us. And that's doing a U-turn on an aircraft carrier. That takes a lot of work. Not impossible, but it's not overnight. It can't be rushed. It can't be hurried. This can't be another head, you know, I forget the statistic, 19 head coaches in 20 seasons. It's not literally that, but something that is as turnstile in that regard. This has to be a measure twice, cut once approach. And in so many ways, that's what Jason Wright and Julie Donaldson and the new leadership that they're bringing in, that's what they're doing. They're bringing the right people around the table. You know, and you know, at some point you got to give Mr. Snyder a mulligan. It's easy to come by and give him just constant berating and barrages. But at some point, like, if you want him to change, then give him a chance to do so. And from what we've seen thus far, he's bringing the right people in the room. Now, this is a costly process. It is a timely process. Now, we both know Rooster. In the context of Redskins fans, and again, I say Redskins in air quotes, Washington Football fans, nobody's going to love the name. Do your due diligence. Figure out what segments with the heaviest swath of the overlapping Venn diagram in terms of public sentiment and preference, but then put values behind it. Because if you can match that with qualitative and authentic community engagement, and if you can match it with a team that doesn't win every week, but that fans can see, hey, you know what? We took two steps forward and then two steps higher and then two steps forward and higher, rise over run, they're going to get behind it. Because there's authenticity, there's effort, and there's honesty with it. And at this point, that's what fans really want to see. In this year of years, Rooster, that's what fans want to see. They want to see that you're doing it the right way and you're doing it with fan sentiment in mind. And I give full credit to the Washington Football Team and Jason and Julie and the team they're putting together, man. And also, as a side note, credit to you, man. You called balls and strikes. Sometimes you throw eggs and you crowd the plate, right? You throw it high and tight, but when they do right, they do right. When they do wrong, they do wrong, and you call balls and strikes.
Nah,
and so
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
You're my guy. Doing, man.
Doug Eldridge is our guest. Again, founder of DLE Agency, at Achilles PR as well, or at Achilles _PR on Twitter. And you can follow Doug at Doug Eldridge for all of this great analysis and watch him on TV and all that stuff. So let me ask you this one last question, and I'll let you go and get back to your Friday night and your wonderful family. If you were them, what would you say, and this is just more opinion, what would you say is the percent chance that you would keep it, if you were making this decision, that you would keep it Washington Football Team as it currently is right now?
You know, that's a great question. You know, I'll throw a you talk about insider DC baseball, right? If Biden is in fact the winner, as all projections indicate that he is, you know, irrespective of the pushback and the contestations, then there's a very good chance that Washington DC becomes a state. There's a very good chance that Puerto Rico becomes a state.
Right.
So are we no longer referring it to District of Columbia or Washington?
You know, somebody, caller brought this up last night, and I had never even thought about that. Now you're bringing it up, which scares the bleep out of me.
Yeah,
because, if you keep it Washington football team or Washington whatever, it might not be Washington anymore. There might not be Washington, right?
That's the duality, right? Like, I'm literally driving home. So I, as you alluded to, I run two companies. DLE is a sports management, and Achilles PR is a commercial public relations firm. And we've had clients on national cable news all afternoon across the spectrum, several of whom were political candidates. And so I've been on endless conference calls on this topic. And that's why I say that, because it was kind of front of mind. It's like, well, wait a minute. We could be looking not only at a changing, you know, political topography. We could literally be looking at a changing stars and stripes on our flag. In so doing, if we're talking about a franchise that, you know, that derives its name from our geography and our locality. Anyway, not to get too far in the weeds or too nerded out on politics or public relations, but when you talk about, again, and in so many ways, maybe it's not, maybe it doubles back to what we're saying from the outset when we talk about the back of the watch, the gears. It's not the illusion of simplicity that the hour and the minute hand would lead you to believe. It's all these things that have to perfectly line up, perfectly, not just more or less, but perfectly line up in synchronicity to provide the targeted result. And I guess my point is, I don't know, buddy. I mean, I don't think people love Washington football team, but I sure as heck don't think they're going to love Red Tails or Red Wolves or anything else you're going to say, which is why I say, go with a program that has integrity, that you can build a public relations and community engagement team behind, and then as quickly as you can back that up with wins, but more importantly, progression on the field, so fans can see it, they're going to get behind it. You can call it the Washington Snowballs, but if you can go 8-8 and show progress, they're going to say, I'm a snowballer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. Winning, finally, would correct a lot of this. This has been awesome, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate your friendship and your support, as always, Doug. And thanks for making time for us. And again, fans can go check out you on Twitter at Doug Eldridge, DougEldridge.com. Again, DLE Agency and Achilles PR. And find out a little bit more about what you do and watch you on TV. I see you on TV all the time. You're on all over the place. You're a good looking man. You get it done. And I appreciate you making some time for us.
I appreciate you. And hey, please give a big hug to my guy, Tyler, man.
Will do.
You have such a wonderful family, brother, and I appreciate your work ethic. Keep putting it in, man.
Same to you, brother. Man, I appreciate you. That is Doug Eldridge. Good stuff there. Really good stuff there, and excellent insight on the challenges that this organization is facing. I mean, if we think that they are just facing it on the field. No. There are so many things and so many layers and so many issues that they are dealing with at the same time. I mean, it is impossible to keep up with, impossible to sort out. That's how crazy it is, how layered it is. All right, I know we got to take a break. We're way late. I appreciate Doug being with us and the insight. We're coming back for a final hour of overtime right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.